Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of A Quick Pipe. Now, one of the things that I said in my recent meet and greet in London is that I feel, from talking to younger people, that the mood is shifting. The mood is shifting in a direction where something is going to be done about the dysphoria and chaos into which we have moved. And a good piece of evidence for that is the latest episode of Trigonometry, in which they interview Douglas Murray, the author of this book, The Strange Death of the West. The episode is entitled, This is About Survival. And Murray, who is a relatively mainstream character, of course he's on the right, but he's very much on what one might call the purple-pilled right, on the right where certain things can't be talked about, certain things can't be discussed, has been prepared to go to places that, even I was taken aback. Even I was quite shocked that he was prepared to look into these possibilities. So first of all, he basically argued that this is a war. The West is now in a war. Britain is now in a war. And people who support Hamas should, in his view, basically be removed. And certain leading members should be deported from the country. So he's talking about issues such as removing from the country very large numbers of people, if those people are considered to be in some way enemies of what the West, in his view, stands for. Now, this would have been an absolutely unthinkable thing to say. He's raising the possibility of repatriating, removing a portion of the population if they fundamentally disagree with what he regards as Western values. He openly states that he takes the view that supporters of Hamas must go. Secondly, with regard to their argument about why it is that we should support Palestine, why it is that we should be on their side, he says, well, that argument is that they got there first, they are the earlier settlers, and therefore they have more of a right to the land. Now, he raises, of course, the very interesting and very difficult point, something which, again, I couldn't have conceived of someone in the mainstream raising really relatively recently, which is that if that's what you're going to say, then, well, the people of Palestine have been there a very, very, very long time before the Israelis came and settled the land and made it into the State of Israel. Well, that being the case, surely we can talk about the native British that have been in Britain between about the year 400 and 1945, when mass immigration started. Surely they have a greater right to the land. It is their land. And by the same logic, those that have come since, do not have an equal right to be there. And he says, do you really want to go there? Do you really want to raise this issue? And of course, the answer is no. Now, the counter argument that is put by the trigonometry interviewers is, well, the left won't accept that because it's a matter of power dynamics. And they will say that the native Europeans have more power than those that are coming in. And equally, the Israelis have more power than the Palestinians. But of course, the counter argument to that, which he puts emotively, but very interestingly, is, well, are girls that have been groomed on the streets of Rotherham and whatever, do they have power? Do the English working class have power? The answer is, of course, no. So it's a very interesting, and also the reasonable counter argument, as we know from research on this, the left don't engage in logical arguments anyway. I mean, it's essentially the Conservatives are always going to win against the left when it comes to logical, reasonable arguments, because the left are motivated by power, they're not motivated by logic or reason. But the point is that he's prepared to raise these issues. He's prepared to openly state that Hamas leaders, even if they're British citizens, and there are some, should be deported, that he does not want to live in the same country as people that support Hamas. And by saying that, he's saying he does not want to live in the same country as a significant proportion of a certain subgroup of the population. These are things which I guess someone like that, someone who is... has managed to become relatively mainstream, must be aware, very consciously and clearly aware of what you can get away with saying and what you can't get away with saying. Someone like that is able, I think, very well to look around the world, look around the country, someone's been able to get to that position of prominence and notice what you can get away with, what you can't get away with, how you can play for status just about while keeping aspects of other status and so forth, how you can get the balance exactly right while being ahead of the game and being a sort of a leader of thought. And even he, with all of that awareness, all of that sort of social skill and ability to work out what the just correct thing is to say to gain a certain the correct degree of socioeconomic status, even he has noticed that you can say these things now. He's prepared to take the risk and say these things, and he's reasonably confident, I assume, that he won't be cancelled on the mainstream right for saying things which would have destroyed someone on the mainstream right really only a few years ago. He's talking about things like repatriation and so on. And so I think this is a fascinating shift. The other thing that he does, that he talks about, which no one seems to want to mention, by the way, is why it is that surrounding Arab countries are not interested in taking refugees from Palestine. He says they don't do anything for refugees from Palestine. The answer, and also why it is that Israel was able to take over Palestine, and the interesting answer, I suspect, by the way, is to do with cousin marriage and tribalism. The Israelis are very low in cousin marriage, about 1%, less than that, whereas people who are actually adapted to that environment, if you have an environment which is high in pathogens, then the way that you can ensure that adaptations to these pathogens are passed on is these adaptations are the gene complexes are not broken up, is by marrying people that are very similar to you. And therefore you marry people that are your cousins. In doing so, you create these tribes, you create these clans of people that are genetically very distinct from everybody else, that are genetically canalised, and therefore they don't cooperate with each other. And it's been shown that, of course, the cousin marriage level across the Middle East is something like 0.6. In some places it's higher, and there is a clear correlation between pathogen load in the population and cousin marriage. But once you have high levels of cousin marriage, then you have people who will tend to cooperate in terms of genetic similarity, they will cooperate with each other in terms of genetic similarity, and they will shut outsiders, they will create tribes and clans, and they won't cooperate with each other. And across the Middle East, Arabs do not tend to of course, Arab just means if you're an Arab, you speak Arabic, they don't tend to trust other Arabs. Whereas, of course, the Israelis, Ashkenazi Jews, spent a lot of their evolution in Europe. They don't practice cousin marriage, so they can create a large polity with high levels of trust. And so that's probably one of the reasons why they have managed to dominate Israel. He doesn't look at this, but he looks at some extraordinary issues, which I think would have been unthinkable until relatively recently. So I'm afraid it does make one rather optimistic.
Are you ready for the future of the West?